الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين، فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on the most compassionate and wisest teachings of the perfect deen of Islam, that Allah Ta'ala only through His infinite grace has guided us towards. And this is the special given gift of Allah Ta'ala. It is not on account of our effort, striving, eligibility, deservedness, or even ethnic background. Hidayat and guidance is the sole prerogative of Allah Ta'ala. So we say Alhamdulillah on the ni'mah of Iman and Islam, and that Allah Ta'ala has given to us as our mentor to manifest the revealed teachings of Allah Ta'ala in the most perfect form and manner, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The surah we look at today, Suratul Ma'un, which means the most basic means of assistance or gifts that are mutually given. So Allah Azza wa Jalla in this surah tells us about the qualities of that person who denies or belies or rejects the Day of Judgment. What are the qualities in such a person? These are also the same qualities of a munafiq, of a hypocrite. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen that person who denies the requital, denies the Day of Judgment, who belies the hereafter, the Akhirat? What are the qualities of such a person? And we listen attentively to these qualities. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with Iman. But one who has been blessed with Iman, one of the salient features of Iman is to always have this worry and concern that I do not become afflicted with nifaq, with hypocrisy. And when qualities are made mention of the munafiqeen, we evaluate ourselves and do introspection as to what level these qualities may be evident in me. We do sincere tawbah and beg Allah Ta'ala and make every effort to rectify and change ourselves for the better. So essentially Allah Azza wa Jal mentions five qualities of the one who belies the Day of Judgment. Similarly, these are the qualities of a munafiq, of a hypocrite, who outwardly portrays oneself as a Muslim, a believer, but whose heart is void of even an iota of Iman. One of the outstanding qualities of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, despite the many glad tidings they were given as an entire fraternity of Allah's eternal happiness, of the abodes in Jannah already being prepared, they were always worried and concerned not to be afflicted with nifaq and hypocrisy. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhum, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the guarantee of Jannah on many occasions. The second greatest human being after Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, second only to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, would beg and plead with Sayyidina Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu an, the confidant, the secret keeper of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who knew the names of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites within Medina Munawwara. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an would beg him that I do not ask you to divulge and breach the confidence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in you. But only one thing I beg you is, tell me, is the name of Umar in the list of munafiqeen and hypocrites? Subhanallah, this is that personality whose awe and strength of Iman was such that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if Umar radiallahu anhu walks in a gully, then such is the awe of his Iman and the power of his Iman that Shaitan does not dare to walk in the same gully. So what are these qualities? فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. The first, that the one who belies and rejects resurrection, the hereafter, does not believe in Allah and in the Akhirat, that that person will treat harshly and will repel the orphan child. An orphan child naturally should be attracting compassion and mercy. Definition of an orphan is that young boy or girl whose father passes away before they have reached the age of puberty. A young boy or girl, son or daughter, whose father is taken away from them before they reach the age of puberty. That is the technical definition of an orphan child. So an orphan, even a natural human compassion demands that one shows compassion, love and sympathy to the orphan. But the munafiq, the hypocrite, or the one who does not believe in the hereafter, does not even get oneself to show compassion to that orphan child. Whereas our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Ana wa kafilul yateem kahataini fil jannah. I and the one who sees to all the needs and necessities of an orphan child will be like these two fingers, as close as they are to one another, will be as close to me in Jannah. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined between the forefinger and the middle finger, and then slightly separated between them to show what proximity such a person will have to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. What an honor that would be. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the best of homes is that home in which there is an orphan child who is treated kindly and compassionately. And the worst of homes are those homes in which there is in their care an orphan child. Relatives may be taking care of an orphan child. The wealth of the child is usurped. The child is treated harshly. The child is ill-treated. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam declares that as the worst of all homes. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complains of hard-heartedness. Now, what foresight Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in had? He says, my heart is hardened. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that take an orphan child, feed the child of your food, caress the head of the child with love and compassion. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says a twofold benefit will accrue to you by showing mercy to this orphan child. Your heart will become softened, and Allah Ta'ala will fulfill all your needs and necessities on account of this action. So first and foremost, the one who disbelieves in the hereafter repels and treats harshly and with scorn the orphan child. Second quality, وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. That person does not encourage others to feeding the poor, the destitute. Now those who are in poverty, who are in hunger, a natural human quality would be to have sympathy and compassion and make every effort to try and alleviate the pangs of hunger. And this is something our deen encourages very, very strongly. The best of all forms of sadaqah, afdalu sadaqah, the most virtuous form of sadaqah, and tushbi'a kabidan ja'i'a, to feed a hungry stomach. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayyul islami khayrun, that which actions in Islam constitute the best of actions. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, tut'imu at-ta'am, that you feed frequently and consistently. وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامَ عَلَىٰ مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ, and that you make salam to those you know, those whom you do not know. And we know at this present situation, with the lockdown, the impoverished millions of our country, we know there is severe abject poverty in the informal settlements, in the underprivileged communities. So what an opportunity we have, those whom Allah has blessed, the means, whatever means are available to us, through whichever channels allowed within the legal framework. This is the great opportunity to show this compassion, love and mercy to the creation of Allah that our deen so strongly encourages. And what better form than the means of feeding? Feed as much as possible. Food hampers, etc. Alhamdulillah, our community has embarked on the specific project of feeding as many food hampers as possible to the underprivileged communities. Let us open up our hearts. And similarly, in our personal capacity, first and foremost, those who are in our care. There may be those in our domestic or economic employment, first and foremost, ensure also that the food, etc., is taken care of. And those around us, whichever means we have of context within the present lockdown situation, let us contribute as generously as possible and do not fall foul of this quality that Allah Ta'ala mentions of those who belie the hereafter, who reject the akhirah. They do not encourage others towards feeding the destitute. Subhanallah, look at the words of Allah Ta'ala. This is such a thing that one should be doing and encouraging others. So the munafiq or the disbeliever does not encourage the feeding of the destitute and the poor. This is something, if he does not encourage others, then obviously will not be doing it oneself. The third quality, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that woe and destruction be to those people who perform salah in such a manner that they are totally negligent, they are unmindful of their salah. Now this refers to a disbeliever or a munafiq, especially a hypocrite, outwardly feigns to be a Muslim, but whose heart is devoid of even an iota of iman. Allah Ta'ala describe the relationship between a munafiq and salah. One is, he will not be consistent and punctual in that salah, will neglect it, not perform it in its time, perform it at the 11th hour, sometimes perform it when it suits one out of the time. These are qualities that we should be extremely worried about as far as salah is concerned. Allah Ta'ala also speaks about وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When that person happens to perform salah for some ulterior motive, then does it lazily. The remembrance of Allah, the focus of heart is not there. So we make shukr that Allah did not say here fi salatihim, would have meant that they are unmindful within the salah. A mu'min performs a salah, yes, human errors, forgetfulness, mishaps, that happens. That is not implied in this verse. This verse means a total negligent attitude towards salah, not performing it at all, not performing it within its time, performing it for ulterior motives. However, we should make this effort to distance ourselves from the quality of the munafiqeen as much as possible, that when we do perform salah, this is extremely important, then we perform a salah of high quality. Salah is such a ni'mah, such a gift that Allah Ta'ala has given to a person. We all love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The coolness of my eyes has been kept in salah. Now, most of us at this time will have ample time. So one is to perform all the salahs within its time. But a great opportunity for us to make an effort on the quality of that salah. We do not perform it hastily. We also ensure that all the postures are correct. We take our time about that salah. Try as much as possible humility and concentration throughout that salah. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is, you know, the value of salah, the value of having this opportunity to doing good. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is once passing by a grave. Asked Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, who is the inmate of this qabr, who is buried here? They mentioned the name. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to teach those alive the lesson, said that to this person, raka'atan ahabbu ilayhi min dunyakum. To this person, if the offer is made, two rak'ats of salah is more valuable and more beloved to this person than all the wealth of the world put together, because that person has gone to such a phase and in a state realizing the great value of salah. And when we perform the salah with proper humility, concentration, subhanallah, such benefits we can derive. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the great glad tiding that that person, when the time of salah comes, performs a perfect wudu, performs that salah with total humility and concentration. At the end of that salah, subhanallah, what a great promise, that person is completely forgiven all the past sins. That person comes out of that salah like the day one's mother had given birth to a person. This is the great treasure of salah that we have been given. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says that for every one sajda, one, a single sajda, Allah Ta'ala forgives sins, Allah Ta'ala elevates ranks. Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Azza wa Jal, has a good deed written into the account of a person. For every one sajda, this is the promise of Allah Ta'ala. So we make a concerted effort to improve this quality of salah. It is then, when a person has this perfect salah, that the benefits of salah would accrue. Where Allah Ta'ala says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That salah has this profound effect of being a barrier from shamelessness and all kinds of wrongdoing and sin. So if a person is punctual on the salah, but yet we see we are inclined towards various sins, then let us do some introspection, re-evaluate that salah. Possibly there are deficiencies in some aspect, maybe in the wudu, maybe in the concentration, maybe in the humility within salah. If that salah is perfected, then it will definitely bring forward this benefit. So Allah Ta'ala says about those who belie the hereafter, that woe be to such performers of salah who are totally negligent, unmindful of the salah. Once again, to emphasize, this applies to a hypocrite or a disbeliever, a mu'min who performs salah and human errors creep in, that is a natural condition. We look at the salah of some of the pious predecessors, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, whenever he would perform salah, his salah is described, stood motionless like pieces of wood stuck in the ground. That he would perform his salah in such a manner, like a piece of wood stuck in the ground. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's grandson was Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, who learned salah from his grandfather. From Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, here once again an opportunity in this lockdown period. We try and take as much benefit as possible, the opportunity to interact, to have that amount of free time with our families that we usually may not have. One of the things we impress, the importance of salah, help each other, encourage each other, check the salah of our children, encourage them to better the quality of that salah. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu learned salah from his grandfather, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was once performing salah in a masjid and there was an attack. A missile hit the wall and some of the masonry flew. It flew between his beard and between his throat while he was in sajda, was not even aware that had passed by so close to his life being taken. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in his end life, Allah blessed him with shahada, with martyrdom. He was stabbed, and the person who stabbed Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala today is commemorated as a hero by the enemies of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. That tells you the reality of their iman in Islam. But when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, the very first worry he had in concern after he had come around from unconsciousness, hal salla al muslimun al fajra, have the Muslim ummah completed that fajr salah in which I was attacked? And throughout that entire period, whenever he would regain consciousness, his first worry and concern, has the time of salah come about? Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala sometimes would remain in nafal salah entire night, finishing the whole Quran in one rakat, standing up in one rakat with the entire Quran. What love, what affinity he had for salah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when the time of salah would approach, he would turn pale and tremble. Somebody asked him, why do you react like this to the time of salah? He says, it is the time to discharge that trust which Allah had offered to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they had shrank from bearing its great responsibility, and we insan have assumed it. So I'm worried and concerned of fulfilling this great responsibility. A pious person, Hatim al-Asam, somebody asked him that, how do you perform? What do you visualize when you perform salah? He says, I make wudu, I go to the place of salah, I let my body relax until all the limbs are into their place, and then I visualize in my salah the Kaaba Sharif in front of me, Jannat on my right, Jahannam on my left. I'm standing on the Pul Sirat, Malakul Maut, Israel alayhi salam, is in close proximity, and this is the very last salah that I'm going to perform for my entire life, and visualizing in this manner. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in fact encourages, whenever you perform salah, then ensure that you perform it in such a condition, such an approach, that it is your last salah in this world. Everyone will definitely try and make that the best and most perfect salah. That should be the condition of every time we stand up and perform salah. The quality that follows thereafter, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, the munafiqeen, those who disbelieve in the hereafter, everything they do, it is a show. It is done for name, fame, show, for some ulterior motive. So a mu'min is the one who all the time checks our niyyah, our intention, everything we do. Our beloved, respected Ustad, Sayyidina Hafiz Abdul Rahman Rahimahullah Ta'ala, used to encourage that before doing any action, every time, renew your intention and make at least three intentions. That, Ya Allah, I'm doing this only for your pleasure and happiness. Secondly, Ya Allah, I'm doing it to gain your love and your muhabbat. And thirdly, Ya Allah, I'm doing this, I'm performing my salah, whatever it may be, because this is your command. Ya Allah, I'm fulfilling your right that you have decreed upon me. The last quality, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, that they withhold even the most basic needs and necessities. Things which are normally lent and borrowed between friends, between neighbors, between relatives. Maybe appliances in the home, a spoon, a fork, some or the other household instrument that usually people ask each other, give me a little bit of salt, we are short of salt or sugar. A munafiq, a person who belies the hereafter, is miserly even in those most basic forms of aid. So this quality denotes extreme miserliness. And a mu'min is one who is extremely generous. A generous person is beloved to Allah and beloved to all people around. And here again an opportunity to show the generosity of Islam to the impoverished masses of our country, and make dua that it becomes a means of hidayat. Another meaning of this verse, very importantly, is that they withhold the most basic forms of aid, that Allah Ta'ala says that they do not pay the zakah compulsory upon their wealth. Now we know zakah, 2.5% only. And many people take out the zakah during the month of Ramadan. Let us not forget that important injunction of Allah Ta'ala. So zakah, the very word, the literal meaning of zakah means purification. A second meaning of zakah literally is to be an increase. So zakah has this two-pronged benefit. It purifies the remainder of our wealth, and it is actually a form of increase, of barakah in our rizq, in our sustenance. So we abstain from the quality of miserliness. And to summarize the translation of the surah once again, Allah Ta'ala says, have you seen that person who denies and rejects the day of recompensation, day of qiyamat, day of judgment? فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. What are the qualities of such a person, as well as a munafiq and hypocrite? That person treats the orphan child with harshness, repels the orphan child. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Does not encourage the feeding of the poor, the destitute. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe be to such hypocrites who perform salah in such a manner that they are totally negligent and unmindful of their salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِي يَتَعَاهَدُ الْمَسَاجِدِ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. When you see a person frequenting the masajid, let us value this ni'mah. We had it all our lives. Every time adhan is called, the ni'mah of going towards salah. Let us repent to Allah Ta'ala for our shortcomings in this regard. And when Allah Ta'ala opens up that opportunity once again, we latch on to it. We value the chance of walking, of going towards the house of Allah Ta'ala for our salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you see a person frequenting the masajid, consistently performing all the salahs in jamaat in the masjid, fashhadu lahu bil iman, then testify to the truthfulness and sincerity of that person's iman. Alladhina hum yura'un, those who belie the hereafter, they do things, not for Allah's pleasure, but for name, fame, for some ulterior motive. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. And such miserliness that they withhold and are miserly even in providing the most basic forms of assistance, or they withhold the payment of zakah. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to take benefit from what has been said. Myself firstly, we go on to the second section of our lesson, the reading of the kitab, The Desire for the Hereafter, Shawqi Watan. So recently we have been looking at those hadith that a person who departs from this world on iman, what honor, what esteem, what happiness Allah Ta'ala opens up to that person from the moment the ruh is being taken out, in the moments thereafter, presentation in the court of Allah Ta'ala, the skies, the earth, the malaika, the entire creation sadden at that person's departure from dunya, the honor that Allah Ta'ala gives, the glad tidings that are given at that stage. We go on to the next chapter, chapter number 11, which is the blessings and favors from that moment thereafter, from the time a person is now put into the qabr. And this condition is known as barzakh. We have life in this dunya, you have the barzakh, which is the intermediary phase between death and the day of judgment. So known as the life of the qabr, or call it alamul barzakh, the realm, the life of the barzakh, the intermediary stage. So what honor, and the approximately 47 hadith quoted in this section about the great glad tidings, the great happiness Allah has kept in store in the alamul barzakh for a believer. The first hadith, Sayyidina Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that Ummul Mu'minin, our most respected and extremely knowledgeable and extremely chaste mother, the Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that one occasion she said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is after Rasulullah prior to that had mentioned some of the aspects of questioning in the qabr. So she says to Rasulullah, extremely concerned, Ya Rasulullah, since you have told me, Ya Rasulullah, since you have told me about the voice of Munkar and Nakir, the two angels who question in the qabr, and since you have told me about the grave pressing its inmates in punishment, then nothing is consoling me. I am anxious at all times out of worry of that phase. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Aisha, the voice of Munkar and Nakir, being one that is terrifying applies to the disbelievers. However, the voice of Munkar and Nakir in the ears of a mu'min, a sincere believer, will be like ithmid, which is surma or kuhl or antimony, which are put into the eyes. So when it is put into the eyes, it brings about beauty, it delights the eyes. And the pressing of the grave for a mu'min will be as comfortable as a compassionate mother to whom her child complains of a headache. And then she softly rubs the head of a mu'min. That is what is implied, the pressing of the qabr for a believer. So the voice of Munkar and Nakir, it is a welcoming, it is one that will denote success for a mu'min. And the pressing of the qabr for a believer is like a little child complains to the mother, my head is sore. And then the mother very lovingly, softly presses the head. That is what is meant of the pressing of the qabr for a mu'min, for a believer. But, O Aisha, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on to say, woe to those who doubt the existence of Allah, disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala, and complain about Allah's commands, find fault in, try and poke fun at, try and find faults in the commands of Allah Ta'ala, the injunctions of Islam. For such people, they will be pressed in their graves like an egg is pressed under a stone. So for them, the pressing of the qabr, who disbelieve, will be extremely severe. Like you take an egg and put a huge stone or rock over it, then how it is crushed, such will be the crushing of the of the bones of one side of the body into the other in the qabr. The second hadith in this chapter, Sayyidina Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, narrates that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a Muslim bondsman is buried, the grave says, marhaban and ahlan, a warm welcome to you. And then the grave speaks to this person as he is being put. Can we imagine the elation and joy and the comfort? The grave says, you were the most beloved to me from amongst those who walked on my surface. The earth will say that of all people who walked, you were the most beloved to me. Today, I have been made your servant and you have come to me. I am at your service. You will observe how I deal with you. Then the grave expands for that believer as far wide as the eyes can see. This is a totally different realm, a different kingdom entirely. We do not try and understand it from our logic of existence on the surface of the earth. The grave expands for that person as far as the eye can see. And it opens a door for that person into Jannah. That from the qabr already a door is opened into Jannah. One sees the delights of Jannah. One gets the fragrances of Jannah into the qabr. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this too further onwards. And here such great lesson for us. That the qabr, the grave, rawdatun min riyadil jannah or hufratun min hufarin niran. That the qabr is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah for the pious, adherent servants of Allah Ta'ala. On the other hand, it could be a pit from amongst the pits of the fire of Jahannam for the sinful, for the disbelievers. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst the first category. We take lesson from this great statement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the grave is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah or a pit from the pits of the fire of Jahannam. We bring alive every day remembrance of death. Let us look, contemplate, effect changes into our lives so that at the time we are placed into our qabr, the delight and joy on such an effort will come to the fore. Ultimately, it is only the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. We try and bring our homes alive with this remembrance of death. Dhikrullah, halqas of ta'aleem. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.